Today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, and this is on page 1101 of the Pew Bible. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and was on his way home. Was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture, and told him the good news of Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Assos and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
The book of Acts is an amazing book. Do you remember when Jesus was leaving the earth, he says to the disciples, "I want you to go into all the world and preach the good news to the very ends of the earth." And the book of Acts is about that happening. It's about Jesus' words coming true. It's the Acts of the Apostles, but more so it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because nothing would happen unless God makes it happen, unless God's Spirit enables it to happen. And what we have around these three little chapters of 8, 9, and 10 are three really significant conversions, people becoming Christians. And they kind of happen on three roads. The first is the one we're going to look at today, which is the road to Gaza, but the Ethiopian. In chapter 9 is another road to Damascus. And you know what happened on the road to Damascus? Paul was converted. And then there's a road from Joppa to Caesarea, and Cornelius, the centurion, a Roman, is going to be converted. So here's three different types of people. An Ethiopian, a Jewish, Pharisee type, and we have a Roman. All different types. This was the gospel going into all the world, not just Israel. This was it stretching out. It was going out. There are no racial divisions in Christianity, in this faith. Doesn't matter what nation you come from, what kind of food you eat, what language you speak, it doesn't matter. This was the good news for all people, as Jesus wanted it to be. So here's it expanding. And just before this, we know the story of Stephen, who was martyred. He was the first Christian martyr. The church was growing in Jerusalem. Good things were happening. But it wasn't until Stephen was stoned to death that real persecution kicked in, and then the church was really oppressed. People like Paul, who was Saul, was going from house to house. And if you came to church, if you were a Christian, if you had a Bible, he would drag you out. These kind of things happen today in parts of the world that maybe we don't know very much about. They're happening maybe even at this moment. But there was real harsh persecution. It was so bad that people began to flee from Jerusalem. And they went everywhere. They scattered. But that was God's plan all along, because the only way for the good news to get out was not to stick in a little city like Jerusalem, but was to go. And the only way they would go was if they were forced to go. And people did. They fled. Even into Samaria. Remember last week we were looking at the woman at the well, and so the thing between Jews and Samaritans, and the dislike between those two bunches of people. But the gospel went into Samaria. And great things were happening. Whole villages were becoming Christians. It was amazing. And the chief evangelist was Philip, the man of our story today. He was speaking to crowds of people. and villages were becoming believers. So why on earth would God take Philip, the main man from Samaria, where so many good things were happening, and tell him to leave and go to this dry, dusty road on the way to Gaza? Well, there was one man there that he had to speak to. One man. But Philip was attentive to the voice of God. It says, the angel of the Lord said to Philip. Do you ever wonder how you get to hear God's voice? Wouldn't it be great if an angel spoke to you? How does that happen? Well, how does that happen? Well, first of all, you have to trust in Jesus. Jesus said, there's no other way to God. There's no other connector between God and us except by Jesus. So suppose we can't really expect to hear from God if we're not a follower of Jesus. Suppose that's the first thing. The second thing is to be obedient to what he tells us. Philip was one of the seven. Do you remember the Holy Spirit picked out seven people to be deacons? There was so much going on in the early church. Good things were happening. The Spirit was at work all over the place. But there were people who were needy, widows, orphans, all the practical things. And the disciples were saying, we haven't got time for everything. So the Holy Spirit identified seven people, seven men, to be deacons, to do the practical stuff, and Philip was one of them. And Philip did it, faithfully. Then the Holy Spirit pushed them outside Jerusalem, and he went into Samaria. He was called to preach the good news in Samaria, and he did it, faithfully. So you need to know Jesus, but you need to listen to what he said. As I keep saying, didn't Jesus once say, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Anyone who hears these words, and so often me and all of us, I'm sure, are good at hearing words, but we're not so good at doing what they say. God speaks to us through his word over and over and over again. So anyway, he calls Philip out of the multitudes to go to talk to one man. I suppose the lesson there is that God loves the multitudes. God loves the crowds. But he also loves the one. It is a fact that if you had been the only person on the face of the earth, no other but you, Jesus would have died on a cross for you. He loves the multitudes, but he loves the individuals. And then in verse 26, Philip is called to go on that barren desert road. Luke, who writes the book of Acts, specifies that. I want you to go on this road, the desert road, so it won't be a nice place. And yet, it's symbolic of the man he's going to meet. He's going to meet the Ethiopian official whose life is barren and empty, for he himself is a eunuch. So the desert road kind of symbolizes the guy's condition. But he's a eunuch. Now, this was a common practice in many ancient cultures. Sometimes young boys were chosen and emasculated in order to become a eunuch to serve in the royal court. Because that way they would be no threat to anyone. They could look after the royal harem and not be a threat to the women there. They could hold high office because there would be no threat there either, because they would have no children. And so there'd be no idea, no thought of them forming their own dynasty. They simply were there to serve the king or the queen. A very common practice. A very gruesome practice. But this man, the Ethiopian, held a high office. He was more or less the Ministry of Finance. He was in charge of the treasury of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is not what we think of Ethiopia today. Just below Egypt, it's more like Sudan of what we think about today, but that whole region. And he was in charge of the treasures of Ethiopia. Somehow he came to hear about the God of Israel. And he believed that the God of Israel was God, and the gods of the Ethiopians were not gods. And so he makes his way to Jerusalem to go and worship this God, whatever that meant for him. It's a long way. 800 miles to go to church. Can you imagine going 800 miles to church? And when you get there, you're not allowed in. Because Gentiles could only come as far as the Gentile court, which was somewhere out there. And even if he had been a Jew, because he was a eunuch, he wasn't allowed into the assembly of the Lord anyway. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. So he made a long trip, but he couldn't get in with everybody else. He was on the outside. And yet this man is searching for God. And he has a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which would have been hard for a non-Jew to get the hold of. And he's reading it aloud, Isaiah 53. A very famous passage that we know about Jesus and the cross. And in verse 29, the Spirit says to Philip again, go to that chariot and stay near it. And in verse 30, he says to him, do you understand what you were reading? Do you understand what you were reading? And the man says, how can I know unless someone explains it to me? And this is why God, the Spirit, had brought Philip to that road, to that chariot. Philip didn't ask, why am I going there? He simply went. It was a bit like Abraham, I want you to leave this place and go to a land that I will show you. He didn't ask which land, he just went. Philip just went. Then the Spirit said, go near that chariot. And he could hear the man reading because it was the tradition of the day to read out loud. He didn't have his Kindle or his novel. You read out loud. That's what they did. And he could hear him reading Isaiah 53. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I? And he says, get up into my chariot and you tell me what this is all about. Bit like our chat the other day, Tracy. What's this all about? Get up into this chariot. And that is why the Spirit had brought him there to explain this scripture. Do you know? You may have a neighbor, or a work colleague, or a friend, or someone in your family, someone in your life that only you can speak to. Only you can explain the state of the world. Or where is God in all of this? Or why does God allow that? Or what does this mean? Maybe only your voice can speak into their life. And if you don't speak into their lives, maybe no one will. But Philip was the chosen one for this man to explain the scriptures to him. He doesn't understand it yet, but he hears that he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, Isaiah 53. And as a lamb before the shearer was silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the Ethiopian says to him, who is this prophet talking about? Who is this one? Is it himself or is it someone else? And Philip was able to tell him it was about Jesus. This is the one that the prophet speaks of. And this is the one that we'll be thinking about very shortly when we have our communion. We'll think about Jesus coming, led like a lamb to the slaughter, dying on a cross to take our sin, to pay our price, to open up a way for us into God's presence. The only way of connecting with God. But Philip was able to open up this passage for him, and so he believes. The eunuch believes. And then, in the middle of this desert, he comes to an oasis. He believed. And suddenly in this wilderness, there's water. And said, can I be baptized? And again, that's symbolic of this man's life. His life was like a wilderness he didn't understand. But when he understood, when he believed, it was an oasis. And life can be like that for all of us. Life is hard for everybody. It doesn't matter what someone's life looks like on the outside or a family looks like on the outside. Everyone's life is difficult That's the nature of life. And sometimes we can look at the world and it seems like a wilderness. Our lives can seem like a desert, a dry, dry place. And it's hard. But when the Samaritan woman met Jesus last week, and he asked her for a drink, and he said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask me, and I would give you water that would spring up to eternal life. And so it was for the Ethiopian. When it all clicked inside his head, he understood. And this image of water was there. And so it is with us. As we understand, as we believe, as we trust, the world can still be a barren place, but to us, it can be like an oasis. When we come, didn't Jesus say, come to me if you're weak, if you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Didn't Jesus say, come to me if you're thirsty? The Ethiopian believed, and here's water in the middle of the desert, and he is baptized. As soon as he's baptized, Philip is taken away by the Spirit, disappears. But the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. And I just want to mention a little bit beyond that, because I reckon once he got back into that carriage, that chariot, and he had a scroll, and he's probably working his way through that scroll because it opens up and it folds, you know, it's not like a book. You can't easily open it in the middle. And he was probably reading it all the way through, and Philip arrived at the right time, Isaiah 53, but he would have continued reading that. 53, 54, 55 that I read today. Anyone who's thirsty, come and drink of the water, come and buy without price. Doesn't cost anything. But then 56, this is what the Lord says in chapter 56. And this would have made the Ethiopian eunuch's ears perk up. It says this, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. Isn't that amazing? He had been to the temple. He couldn't get in. But the Lord in chapter 56 says, for those who believe, they will be brought right into the presence of God. There will be a memorial for everlasting life for them. Wouldn't he have gone home really rejoicing, thinking, that's me. This is better than having children. This is me. I have eternal life. A new beginning. Tradition has it that this man went home and became a kind of evangelist, a missionary, and that many people believed because of him. I was reading that people believe that he was the beginning of the Coptic Church, where there are 9 million believers in Egypt and Ethiopia today. One man taking the good news and how God can use us. Maybe you could be that one man or one woman speaking into someone else's life, and who knows where it will lead to.